I ain't heard that song in a pretty good while. That's nice to hear. I like that song. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. I'm glad mine don't sleep. When he was a man, he was resting down there, and they came, Lord, don't you care that we perish? He said, where's your faith? He's the Master of the sea. Where's your faith? Now he's up there in heaven and he doesn't sleep. So he's all the time available. He can always be called upon by anybody who desires to be in contact with him. Amen. Psalm 18. I want to preach to you about the God of deliverance. We got that song. That's actually another one of my songs. The songs that I really enjoy is Deliverance Will Come. I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad and struggling up the mountain. It seemed that he was sad. His back was heavy laden. His strength was almost gone. Yet he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. And I'm glad that we've got a God of deliverance. I'm glad he's not a God of sometime deliverance. I'm glad he's a God of deliverance. And he promised that one day deliverance would come. It may not always come when we think it ought to come. But you can rest assured that it will come at some point. So Psalm 18, when you find your place, you will stand with me. I'm going to just have you stand for just a second. I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and then we'll pray. You can sit, and by God's grace, we will try to give you what God's laid on our hearts. Psalm 18, verse 1, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, Father, we come before you realizing that we can do nothing except what we feel led to do, but at our best and our most at our best state, Lord, we just be vanity. We're dust and ashes. We are but rags. But Father, we're asking for your help today with the message. We pray that you'd set a guard of watch before our lips, that we would not say anything contrary to your word or your will. And we ask that what is said, may it be received with open hearts, minds, and spirits, that we may leave here today having been made better than what we were when we came. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name and for his sake we pray and ask the power of God on us in this hour. Amen. Amen. He says in verse 1, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He says, I will love thee. Now I want to say to you, in light of what we're talking about, is a God of deliverance, but I want to say to you that he says, I will love thee, and he doesn't even have... Now, this is a point in David's life when David has just been delivered of some enemies that he has, not furthest from them being the former king of Israel, Saul, who spent quite a lot of his latter days chasing after this man who was after God's own heart. And so whenever you get to hearing David say, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, he's letting you know that even at a time when he didn't know whether deliverance was going to come or not, he still chose to let God know, Lord, I love you, even if the deliverance I'm looking for, whether it comes or doesn't come, whether it comes when I think it ought to come, or whether it ought to come sooner than what I want it to, or whatever the case may be, he says, I'm going to love you irregardless. Me and Heather Lynn, and I know I don't like to use this as examples too awful much, but hey, it's the only one I got. So whenever I gave you this example, just try to bear with us, knowing that most of what we're going through and have went through, some of you may have already been through in your life. But I want to tell you that at the time when she and I had started praying for children, and there was no answer that came, and we kept trying and trying, and years were going by now, and here it's 4, 5, 6 years after we'd been married, and the Lord still hadn't come through with an answer. And we finally got to a place where we both just got down on our knees together and prayed and said, Lord, should you give us children, we'll love you, and should you not give us children, we're still going to love you. You know, sometimes one of the tests of the mark of character in a Christian is whether or not you will still love the Lord should he not choose to answer. You know, all the time we're not, I mean, God's not obligated to answer us. God's not obligated to answer anything we bring before Him. But I will say this, you got a good God, and He's a God of deliverance, and He's a God of grace, and I could go on and on and on and just talk about what He's the God of, but I want to stick to deliverance this morning, because at a time whenever you needed deliverance, and even in this day and age when you need deliverance, He's still the only way you're going to get it. We had somebody requested prayer this morning for a man who's needing help. He's got a bad habit he's trying to get shook of, and he's asking people to help him pray that he'd be able to get victory over that thing. Can I tell you that there's only going to be one way that he's going to get the deliverance from that? It's going to come from God. But God is a God of deliverance. He says, I will love thee. The three Hebrew children, here they are getting ready to face the fiery furnace, and here they are facing the king that's told them. He says, listen, I like you guys. I've set you up to be over the provinces of my kingdom in Babylon, but I want to go ahead and tell you boys that I've set up the image, and I told you when you heard the music start playing, you better hit your knees, and if you don't, well, I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. And they said, king, now listen, I want you to get how these three boys responded in the face of this king. They said, we are not careful in answering. Amen. Not careful. Say, they were reckless. No, they weren't reckless. They weren't worried. Amen. We are not careful. We're not full of care. We're not worried about what's going to happen to us. They said, if God so choose, He'll deliver us. But should God choose not to deliver us, let it be known we still will not bow. Amen. And I want to tell you this morning that whether God would have walked them out of there like He did, or whether they'd have perished in the flame, they would have still been delivered. Because God is a God of deliverance. I want to say that He's a God. He says, I will love thee. And this God of deliverance, you ought to love Him before the storm. You ought to love Him during the storm. And you ought to love Him after the storm. Amen. You ought to just love Him after the storm. And I say, thank God that one's over. All right, Lord, you and I are on good terms because I'm out of the storm now. Let me tell you something, beloved. God don't need any more fair weather friends. Amen. He's already got enough of them. Amen. You know what He needs? He needs somebody when they're on the horizon and they see the clouds brewing. And they see, how many of y'all have seen it, right? You've been out there when it's a flat country. You even see it up here in the mountains from time to time. And just off in the distance, boy, you'll see them clouds and they'll begin to come down. And then the mountains off in the distance will begin to disappear. And you won't see them no more. And then the ones getting closer start getting harder to see. And before you know it, there's a drop and a drop and a drop. And then here the wind begins to blow. And boy, when that comes, all the boys at work know that when that starts happening, you better start heading for the pickup. Because you're fixing to get wet. You're fixing to get wet. And whenever you see that happen, brother and sister, those are the times when you know the storm's coming. When you know the trouble's coming. You know the trouble's coming. You know the problems are coming. That's when you say, God, I see a storm on the horizon. I know it's going to be hard to weather, but I want you to know that I love you anyway. Thank you for the storm. And then you ought to love Him during the storm. When you're going through the thing. You're losing things. You're having to get, things are being cast off. How many, whatever you read about Paul over in Acts chapter 27, and he gets over there and they're in that great storm, and it says that the ship was so heavy, they begin to throw things overboard and lighten the ship because they were taking on so much water. They were afraid of the ship capsizing. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. The storms of life are going to fill your vessel, and you are going to have to get rid of some things off the board of the ship in order to keep that thing above. But you ought to thank God and love God, even though it may cost you some things off board. Even though you may have to get rid of something. Say, but this is too precious to me. You don't know how long I've worked to get this. You don't know how hard it was for me to get this on this ship and how long I wanted it here. But let me tell you, when it comes to sinking or swimming, are you going to love God enough to throw that thing overboard and let Jesus have control of the wheel? Are you going to love Him enough? I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. If you're not going to love Him and He's not your strength, that means you're going to be weak. And His strength is made perfect in weakness. He's a God of deliverance. I will love thee when there hasn't been an answer, and there may not be one. Oh God, I want a healing. May not be one. Oh God, I need this bill paid. He may not pay it. He's a liar. He said he'd supply all my need. You may not need that bill that you won't pay. Maybe he's helping you to cut down. Taking you down a little bit. Sometimes the answer ain't going to come. Say, he's not a God that can answer prayer. Oh, he's a God that answers prayer. But he said, I'll supply all your need according to my riches and glory. A lot of the times those things we accumulate on ourselves are not things we need. They're just things we want. Not things that are necessary. Do you know I have seen on different occasions somebody whom God had to break down so much so that they got to the bare point where all they had was enough to survive so they could serve Jesus Christ, and that's all they got. I mean, let me tell you something, folks. There wasn't no vacations. I know preachers and their wives and children right now that ain't seen vacation in over 10 years. No weekends away. No break. No trip to the beach. No cruise. No sports events. None of that. Yeah, some of y'all fixing to go on the cruise. Brother just got back from Canada. Hey? They ain't going. And for some people, let me tell you something. Now, I ain't trying to say that there's more quality in one than the other, but I will tell you this. I know in Isaiah, the Bible says he gives you about threshing time over in the nation Israel, and he gives you three different kinds of wheat, and the one that he puts the most value on is the one that's broke the most. Anybody ever went down to the feed store? You can get whole kernel corns, and it won't cost you near as much as it did if you buy mash. Something to throw out to your chickens. That's more expensive than if you were to buy cracked corn. Didn't it? Why? Because the more something's broke down, the more it's worth. Now, I ain't saying if you got money, that means you ain't right with God. That ain't what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. Sometimes God will have to come through and break you down to where you've just got the bare minimum so He can get your focus and your eyes where it ought to be. Do you love Him? Do you love Him in the storm? Do you love Him during the storm? Do you love Him after the storm? Do you love Him before the storm? Will you love Him if the answer doesn't come? That's good, sis. I didn't even think about that one, but that's right. What if He says no? You're saying, God, I really need this, and I think this is something that's going to benefit, and He says, no, it won't. No, it won't. He says, it's not going to help you at all. And you sit there and go, but... And he puts his arm around and he says, but will you love me? Anyway. Even if I know what's best. And you may not understand. And listen, you're not going to all the time. You're not always going to understand. But you have to just ask yourself this question. It's not about whether I understand what He's doing or whether I don't understand what He's doing. Here's the question. Will you love Him anyway? Will you love Him anyway? He's a God of deliverance, but what if He chooses not to deliver right now? There's more than one way of deliverance. We've got our faults. What does deliverance mean to us? It means out of the fire, scar-free, like the Hebrew boys. Not even the smell of smoke. But you know, there's a lot of them. When they got out of the furnace, if they got out, they were burned. And a lot of them were consumed, and they didn't get out of the fire. If I could draw pictures better than what I can, I've said this before, I'd love to do one of the prodigal and put him in the hog pen. And then he got the little bubble, like, you know, in the comic books, he's got a thought, you know, there it is. And here's a picture of the father's house and the father out front with his arms open. And he says, my father's servants have bread enough, and I'm perishing with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And the Bible, and if I could draw this, this is what I would draw. I would draw him jumping the fence of the hog pen, leaving the hogs behind, the bucket still laying on its side with the contents spilling out on the ground. And the pigs are looking off as this young man is making tracks heading back to the Father's house. But on the hillside behind the hog pen lies a cemetery full of prodigals that didn't come to themselves quick enough. And they perished in the far country. Deliverance came, but not the way they thought it would. Deliverance came, but it wasn't in the way they wanted. God is a God of deliverance. But it may not be in the way we think it ought to be. I want to give you a few things, and then we'll cut or go to the house. It's just three verses. I tried to make it so it'd be quick, but verse 2. Here he is, your deliverer. He's my rock. He says he's my rock. That means he's your foundation. He's what you stand on. And if you keep your feet on the rock, that means the storms come and the wind beats and the waves beat. But as long as your feet are on the rock, you're not going to have to move. You know what becomes the problem? Is because what becomes the problem? He's a big rock, is he not? That's a rock, man. The Bible says he's hewn from the mountain without hands. Boy, that's a rock of offense, the Bible calls him. And when you're standing on him, you can trust that he ain't going to move. But here comes the problem. He's not moving, but you start. You ever went to the swimming hole? After a good rain? Water was murky? You couldn't see the bottom. So you're on this thing, and here it is. It's the rock, and you're standing on it. But then you get to the end of it, you're like, whoop. Well, there's a hole right there. And then you stick your foot down, and it seems the further down your foot goes, the colder the water gets. Some of you might be ambitious. Say, I wasn't that ambitious because I'm 6 foot tall. 99% of the time, I hit the bottom before my head did. So it was like taking a stick and going, bam, and it just like jolted from my toes to my spinal cord. But that's the problem we get, right? We're on the rock. He don't move. The problem's when you start. And buddy, you better be careful. Because what that cold water doesn't do is it doesn't keep your senses alert to the deepness of what you're fixing to get into. And you'll think, I got it. I got it. And buddy, something that's down in them deeps that don't want you on the rock will grab you and pull you off. Say, I lose my salvation. No, you ain't going to lose your salvation. Because one of the things is you're tethered to the rock. You'll never lose that. But boy, you can sure slip and fall off. You can't lose that salvation, but you can fall right out of His care. Amen. But I want to say this now also, that rock is not only a rock of standing as a foundation, it's an artillery. David went down to the creek and got five smooth stones, put them in his sling, and he took out one of the enemies of Israel with one rock. Not only God being your deliverer, but when David said, He's my rock, David said, any victory I've ever had in my life came only because I trusted in Him. Amen. But not only that, he says He's my rock, but he said He's my fortress. My fortress, where you find refuge. It's the place that you get behind the wall of His protection and His grace, and you stay there. And not only that, but when you get in there, you understand that it's impenetrable. And nothing can get to you unless it goes through Him first. But he also says, He's my deliverer. He's my deliverer. He's the guide. And he's guide to those who can walk. Now, I want you to get this. We went over to that room, you know. We was over there. We went in the tomb. I don't know about any of the rest of y'all. I had a harder time understanding our guide. I'm not making fun of this young man. I'm not. But this man had a little bit of a speech impediment. And when he talked, he had a real bad lisp, and he couldn't pronounce his S's very well. And part of the thing was he reached under the table and he hit play, and it started playing this thing of an archaeologist who said, "We have located the tomb of the Pharaoh, and you've got to help us because we can't find his body." And da 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 da, you know. And they went through the whole thing, and he's over here grabbing a radio. "No, sir, there's a new man." He's just trying to have this conversation with this recording, and I mean, I couldn't understand half of what the man was saying. But you know what happened is when we got into that room over there and he started talking to us and he would talk us through everything, I'm going to be honest with you, I think if it wasn't for him kind of giving us some points here, there, and yonder, we may not have made it through there. Not that the puzzles were too difficult, but, you know, it's nice to have a guide. Isn't it, though? Because the guide is the one who helps those who can walk. That's Him. He said, He's my deliverer. He guides those who can walk. And He carries those who can't. He's the deliverer. But not only the deliverer, He says He's my God. He said He's the deliverer, He's my God. You know, I'm glad God ain't like the fire department. I'm glad God ain't like the EMS. I'm glad God isn't like the police department. Although all three of those are very valuable and I appreciate everybody that serves them, but I'll tell you this. What if every ambulance in the bay was out on a call somewhere and one other person needed help? They're going to have to wait until one comes available. What if every fire truck was off and putting out a fire somewhere? Thank God for the rain. Amen. We were in a bad drought. One strike of match, somebody careless could have burnt the country to the ground. God sent us some rain. Hallelujah. Maybe more on the horizon. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you this, beloved. I'm glad that God ain't like the fire department where they're spread so thin, my house catch fire and somebody can't come help me. I'm glad my God ain't like that. I'm glad when the burglars come and the prowlers come and the evil comes that the Lord ain't like the police officers who, God forbid, in our wonderful county, they only give us one. You know, we have one in this big of an area. But I'm glad God ain't like that. I'm glad He's always there. He's my God. But I also want to say He's my strength. That's what David said. He's my deliverer, my God, my strength. Because His grace makes His strength perfect when I'm weak. But He also says, in whom I will trust. He's my God in whom I will trust. I trust Him with my finances. I trust Him with my job. I trust Him with my family. I trust Him with my health. I trust Him. Bible says that a virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies because the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. But I'm going to tell you this. You can trust more in Him. You can trust Him with your money. You can trust Him with your heart. Amen? People looking for somebody to spend their life with, spend it with Jesus Christ. Spend it with Him. Because I'll tell you, you ladies, you ain't never met a man like Him. You ain't never going to find a man like Jesus. Amen. I'll say that with all confidence. You fellas, you'll never find a man that'll treat you better than what Jesus did. You'll never have a spouse, a woman, that can do for you the things that Jesus Christ will do for you. Amen. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, you can be content with Him. Because He's enough. Amen. He's enough. You don't need no more. He's all you'd ever need. He's enough. Boy, you ever get to that point where you say, I don't care if it's just me and Him from now to eternity. I'm okay with that because He's enough. Boy, I tell you, He's my buckler. I had to look that one up. I always read that and read buckler and I always thought maybe that's something you fasten to and it kind of holds you like a harness. That's not what that is. A buckler is a shield. It's an old, ancient shield. And what they did is they framed it out of wood and then they took like wicker. Like we would make a wicker basket or a wicker chair and they would put that across it. And then they'd cover it with animal hide. And it wasn't something that was super durable, but what made it so useful was at the on the middle of the shield, they put what they called an umbo. U-M-B-O, an umbo. And it was a piece of metal that started in the middle and it came out off the shield to a point. And it was used to deflect. Arrows would come and hit it. And instead of sticking, they would hit that. And it would deflect. It was useful in close quarters combat. When the enemy would get close, they could take it and put it up against the enemy. It kept them at bay. That's what He is for you and I. He's that one who can deflect the fiery darts of the wicked. He's the one who, when they get in too close, He can keep them just far enough away that they can't get you. He's my shield. But He's also, the Bible says, the horn of my salvation. Whether that's a horn that you put to your lips and you blow it to the rooftops, letting people know. I mean, saved to the uttermost, I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Holy Lamb. To the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. He's that horn. He's that horn you blow saying, I'm born again, man, I'm saved. Washed in the blood. But beyond that, He's also the horn of the altar that you hold on to. Amen. You go down there and get in the house of the Lord and get a hold of the horns of the altar and you don't let go. And He's those horns. But also that, and I'll finish with this, He's your high tower. He says, He's my high tower. The high tower is inside of the fortress. You always go inside the fortress is inside the wall, but inside that wall is towers. And He's the high tower. And I'm in Him. He's my high tower. In order to get me, they've got to go be in Him. That's the only way. If they're going to get to me, they've got to get close to Him. Now you can apply this in several different ways. But if people are going to be able to get to you, you need to make sure they have to get close to Him too. Amen. You got to let them know. Say, if you want to be close to me, you got to be close to Him. Because He's my high tower. And I'm in Him. And the only way you're going to get to me, I mean, whether you're the damsel in distress up there in the tower, you know, and the Prince Charming comes winding up the staircase, He's the high tower. And if they're going to get to you, they need to be able to will it. They need to be willing to get close to Him. Amen. And He says in verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord, He says, because He's worthy. Notice how He says here, I will call. But in verse 1, He says, I will love. You know something? You ought to love the Lord before you start trying to call on Him. Amen. Amen. That's good. You ought to love the Lord and start loving the Lord. Learn to love the Lord before you start trying to call on Him. You know what'll make it? You start learning to love the Lord, it'll make the calling on Him sweeter. Because when you call on Him, we won't be so quick to jump on the I need a train. Amen. Chugga chugga, I need a. No, you'd be more willing to get on the thank you. Lord, thank you. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. See, David learned contentment in whether deliverance come by the way he expected it or not. I mean, here's Saul, Shimei. Absalom runs David out of the kingdom. Here's Shimei standing up on the side of the bank. Hey, you bloody men of Belial, come on out of the kingdom. The Lord's returning unto you all the blood of the house of Saul in whose stead you've reigned. He said, you'd getting what you deserve. Here's Abishai, one of David's right-hand men. He says, why should this dead dog curse my Lord the King? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. But old David had learned to be content with God. And he said, let him alone. Let him curse. He said, perhaps God would render to me a blessing for the cursing. He said, God has bid him to curse. I wonder how many Christians claim that one. God told me to curse. Hit your hammer, hit the thumb on the hammer, bam! I promise the first word come to your mind ain't praise the Lord. You know? Somebody run you off the side of the road or come across on your lane or they bow up in front of you, the first thing ain't you're thinking ain't God bless them. No. I could have horn cussed so many people yesterday. I'm telling you, it was wall to wall going over there, man, and I could have horn cussed the daylights out of some people. I almost wanted to say, you bunch of tourists, but then I thought, Yeah. I don't exactly have a Tennessee tag here. I don't call them tourists. I call them terrorists. The terrorists. I'm saved, but he says, I'll be saved from mine enemies. Another good song is, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wide stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Listen, I want to point something out to you, and I'm done. I'm through. I'm closing my Bible. You can close yours. We're done. I want to give you this in passing as we get on out the door. The storms are coming whether you do it with Him or you don't do it with Him. Whether you're walking with Him or you're not walking with Him, the storms are coming. It's going to be a lot harder to weather the storms with the Deliverer not on board. Best thing for you to do, get Him on board. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads.